Happy Friday, friends. We're friends, right? Me and everyone out there?
Definitely.
I know I'm friends with you.
We're fantasy friends.
Fantasy friends.
Like super friends, but better.
I'm Adam Azer. That's Dave Richard.
This could be a contentious show today.
No, not at all. That's Heath Cummings. Heath, don't bring that spirit here.
Well, what are we talking about today?
Busts.
That's a very contentious subject.
Maybe we're not friends.
We're friends with each other. I'm not sure we're going to be friends with the players we talk about on today's podcast.
I think friends can have contentious arguments and discussions and still be friends if we're mature adults.
I think that's happened many, many times on this podcast. So
I think you smell funny and you look weird.
Well, I can't help that. Neither of those things can I control.
Oh, he was talking to you.
I'm trying to be more of an adult.
Listen, tomorrow night I'm going to be spending time over the airwaves with my friend Jamie Eisenberg on Ion Fantasy Football on CBS Sports Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern. If you want to talk to us, you can call us up. And I think we're going to do a mock draft live on the air with listeners. It should be really cool. So
That's amazing.
Yeah.
We've never done that before,
have we? Yeah, I know. It was Jamie's idea. Great idea. And I'm looking forward to executing tomorrow.
I'm curious to hearing how that's going to sound.
Let me give you the rundown for today's show. Going to read some tweets. I asked you all for busts, so I'm going to read some of your tweets. Then a few emails. We'll get a little off subject for a bit. Talk about injuries. Joseph Randall's got an oblique strain. We'll talk about preseason week two, the two games that occurred last night, and then we'll get back into Dave's busts. Finish off with more emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Are you ready?
I got the first bust.
Who?
Kelvin Benjamin.
Oh, okay. Get over
I'm still not over this.
Somebody getting hurt is not a bust, right?
Right.
Okay.
I agree.
Yeah. Julian Alexander on Twitter says, I'm staying away from Andre Ellington and Demaryius Thomas. I don't think Demaryius Thomas will get many touchdowns in Gary Kubiak's offense.
I had not particularly thought of Demaryius as a bust. I think he's a bust candidate because we're afraid that offense isn't going to throw the ball as much and he's being drafted. I think one thing, there's a sliding scale for busts. And for a first round pick, average production can still be a bust because you used a first round pick on him. You're expecting spectacular production and he's being drafted in the first round in some leagues. And I don't think I have any Demaryius Thomas this year.
No, you haven't drafted him yet?
I don't think I have.
I think I might have him in one or two leagues.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't mind him one bit. I think he's a phenomenal player.
I like him as long as I can get him in the second round. I wouldn't take him with Dez or Julio or Antonio Brown, though.
Why? Because of the Kubiak concerns? The Peyton concerns?
I have some Kubiak concerns. I have some concerns about, I mean, he does have a quarterback that's 472 years old.
Oh, enough. I just don't think that's a fair argument.
There's just no chance at all that age is going to affect Peyton Manning, is there?
Only if he gets injured. But he was how old did you say he was?
He's 40, I think.
He's 39.
Okay, but he was 4,701 years old.
He is knocking on the door of 40.
Look, last year, Peyton Manning was old too. And once upon a time, Brett Favre was old and he had maybe his best season. And guess what? When Peyton Manning slumped at the end of last season, you know who was still awesome? Demaryius Thomas. And here's another thing. The Broncos didn't throw that many passes last year. Peyton Manning had the 8th most pass attempts in the NFL. They were 12th in rush attempts last year, 9th in pass attempts.
Yeah, so, but it's a tale of two halves.
For Manning, but not for Demaryius.
So are you telling me that you would draft Demaryius over the guys that I said I wouldn't draft?
Well, I am.
Okay, so.
Wait. Hold on. I'll finish. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you on that. I just don't want to, I don't want the concerns to be overblown. Like, if you have concerns about Demaryius Thomas, there's no reason to take him when there are 8 elite wide receivers that you could be happy with. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, just play it safe and pick another guy in that group that you like.
Yep.
But should we be sounding the alarms on Demaryius Thomas? Because personally, I think that fear is a little overblown.
I don't think I'm sounding alarms on him. I said I'd be fine.
He just said he won't take him with a first round pick.
Yeah, no, you weren't. You weren't. That was really more toward the tweet in general. What about Andre Ellington?
No, I mean, there's obviously concern for Ellington because he's injury prone and now Chris Johnson's there and David Johnson's healthy. He's going to start getting into the work. And yeah, I mean, there's some issues with Andre Ellington, but back you draft and you just ride for as long as you can.
Sure. Well, and Andre Ellington's being drafted in the 4th round. Is that right?
I don't know.
I think mid to late 4th round.
So we talked about the sliding scale of bust-dom. I mean, he's going to have to be almost nothing to be a bust as a late 4th round pick.
Would you rather have Andre Ellington or Amir Abdullah?
I think I have Abdullah higher.
Yeah, man. I hate to buy into the hype that much, but yes, Amir Abdullah.
Okay. Next up, Saul.
I take it back. I've got Ellington two spots higher, so pardon me. I'm sorry, Adam, to interrupt.
No, it's okay. Yeah. You know, Dave, let's address that really quickly. People want to know why we talk over each other so much. It's not because
I'm a rude meathead.
It's because we're not, for those of you who don't know, we're not in the same state, and therefore
there's another reason
we're not in the same room. So sometimes I don't know when they're done. I think they're done, then they're not, and I try to get in there, and it's unsuccessful.
Right, just like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think the other reason is, and Dave and I were talking about this before the show, to do the job that we do, there's a pretty good chance you're going to be somewhat long-winded, and you're going to be opinionated, because that's kind of what we're supposed to be, is opinionated. And I think people with that personality type sometimes have a tough time understanding when they're supposed to stop talking, and they can just keep going on and on to make sure that everyone else gets the point they're trying to make. Because
like now.
If you just stop talking, and there's a chance one person listening didn't quite understand what I was trying to say, or you might say something afterwards that conflicts it, and then I've got to try to
go
back on the other side and convince.
So we shouldn't interrupt is what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, anyway, that just wanted to address that. We're not trying to talk over each other. It just kind of happens sometimes. Saul is not interested in Matt Forte for his age and Odell Beckham because of all the hype he has to live up to.
I hate that argument. Oh, he's got so much hype. Overhyped, overrated. Well, if you watched him play, you know that he's an incredible player.
He is. I feel like there is this great divide with Odell Beckham in where he's being drafted. In most of our drafts, he goes at the end of the first or in the second round.
I see him almost always in the second round.
Yes, but there are definitely leagues and websites out there where he's being taken in like the first four or five picks. He's being taken as the first receiver off the board. That's happening in places.
Yeah.
And so I think this guy may be drafting in those places.
Right. We haven't been giving him that much hype, but some people are taking him number one overall. So that is
that's a lot of hype.
That is a mistake. Yeah. Forte, is he a bust candidate this year?
I think he is.
Yes.
And he's hitting the benchmarks that I always look for when a running back breaks down. He's entering his eighth year. He made clear to Jamie, you know, they talked in Indianapolis, and he made clear to Jamie, hey, I'm still 29, I'm not 30, but he's taking good care of his body. He expects a lot of work this year. There's some questions about the Bears offensive line, but I don't like the early season schedule for Chicago. It's Green Bay, it's Arizona, and then at Seattle. And that could lead to a rough start for Forte.
Here's the thing. Matt Forte had a really bad year running the football last year. He averaged 3.9 yards per carry, just barely broke 1,000 yards. You play 16 games and just barely get over 1,000 yards. That was not a good year. He was saved by the fact that he caught 102 passes and had four receiving touchdowns.
Oh, well, of course. And for fantasy purposes, he was great. He was a top five running back.
Right.
Double digits in fantasy points 10 times. That's super rare for a running back. One of only six guys to do it. It boils down to, can he do it again?
Right.
And the reasons for why he might not do it again are starting to get bigger.
Yeah. So he's a guy, you guys mentioned Demaryius. You don't really have him on a lot of teams. I haven't been drafting Forte. Would you draft Forte? Cause he is the number six running back off the board. CJ Anderson, LeSean McCoy, DeMarco Murray, Jeremy Hill are all going behind him. Do you like Forte better than any of those four?
I would take Forte ahead of Murray and McCoy.
I would take Forte ahead of McCoy right now. I would not have before McCoy hurt his hamstring, and I wouldn't if McCoy got to practicing before I drafted.
I'm looking forward to talking about the Bills preseason game.
We'll do that. We will certainly
because,
do that.
Because there's a LeSean point to be made.
Orlando is thinking that all Cleveland running backs are going to be busts.
The whole city of Orlando thinks that all Cleveland running backs are going to be busts?
That's a very inclusive statement.
Victor Oladipo, is that how you pronounce his name?
That is how you pronounce
player?
His name.
He thinks all Cleveland running backs are going to be a bust.
I am absolutely stunned
Victor is
that,
right.
that you know Victor Oladipo.
Yeah, I play FanDuel.
Oh, okay.
I think you might be right. But the best part is you can get Duke Johnson round 8-ish, be later if you're not in a league with me. And Terrence West started their preseason game last night. He looked very average, but you can get him with one of your last picks.
This is a point of contention for me, and some people, you might call this semantics. You might say I'm arguing something that doesn't need to be argued. The earliest that you have to take a Cleveland running back is basically the end of the seventh or the start of the eighth round.
But people are going to take Isaiah Crowell before then. Because they're going to recognize him as a running back with a chance to score a bunch of touchdowns, and they're going to be running back hungry by round six.
His average draft position is going down right now. It's fallen recently, and it's in the seventh. I don't really believe in busts in the seventh round.
Yeah, I agree. But do you think you could maybe spend that pick? Like, I liked taking Crowell because Cleveland ran the ball a ton last year. And before Alex Mack got hurt, they actually ran quite successfully. And Crowell was averaging right around 5 yards per carry in the first four games of the season with Mack. It's small sample, I know. And West actually wasn't that bad either. But they can't throw the ball, and last year they showed they want to run. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Going into preseason, I think good value for Isaiah Crowell. Now I'm not really so sure because Terrence West looked better than him last night. And what did you think?
I think they were both okay.
Yeah.
You know, Crowell had one play where he was awesome in pass protection, and then like two plays later, he blew it.
Well, that wasn't his fault, though.
He shouldn't be
blocking Jerry Hughes.
They each had one nice run. I think Crowell probably had the nicest run from what I saw.
Well, what do you think? Is it worth taking them in is it worth taking Crowell in the seventh round?
I think it is. I was just looking at the average draft position. The only guy that's behind him that I'd for sure take before him is Doug Martin.
Okay.
And then I'm a little questionable on Chris Ivory. I think Crowell has a higher ceiling than Ivory does, but Ivory's probably going to be more reliable.
I would take Ryan Matthews ahead of him too.
What about Tevin Coleman?
I would take Coleman ahead of him too.
Heath?
What was that?
Oh, do you want me to?
Well, you sighed, so I thought there was going to be an answer.
Yeah, I don't think I probably would take Coleman ahead of him right now. I don't think Coleman's going to be the starting running back when the season starts.
Do we think that Crowell will be?
I think as of now, he's got to be.
Yeah.
Okay. Daniel Mays, Adrian Peterson has to be a bust. Just can't see him playing to top five value or staying healthy. Excuse me. And what value does that give Jerick McKinnon?
I like this guy. He sounds like a fun guy. we should hang out. I don't think Adrian Peterson has to be a bust, but if you're talking about running backs that are taken in the first round, he's definitely on a list of most likely towards the top of it.
Heath, well, as the low guy on Peterson, when would you feel okay drafting him?
Adrian Peterson?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I would take Adrian Peterson in the first round. But
before or after CJ Anderson?
That's a good spot. I'll say after.
Okay. So basically you're not getting him.
No, I'm not.
You don't want him. That's what
I've taken Gronk fourth overall twice because Charles, Lacey, Le'Veon Bell went with the first three picks.
Yeah, that's crazy talk to me. Just the whole Gronk versus AP thing. Because if you're going to call one of them an injury risk, the other one is too.
Sure.
I think the running back in this case, Adrian Peterson, has a chance to put up way more points than Gronk. I'll give you that Gronk's got the rarest position.
Mm-hmm.
If you draft Gronk, you're set at tight end. You're better than everybody else at tight end. But if you draft Adrian Peterson, you're going to be pretty well off at running back compared to most other people too.
I think the place where I'm different than the consensus on this is I think there's also a chance. I'm not just talking about the Adrian Peterson getting hurt. Because he's a physical freak. I mean, even at 29 or 30, yeah, the risk maybe goes up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a chance, after not playing since week one of last year, that he's not as fast. He's not as good.
I feel like we'd hear about this. I feel like there would be at least one report somewhere of somebody who's been to Vikings camp, and they say, yeah, you know, Adrian just doesn't look explosive, or he doesn't look the same, or he looks like Bishop Sankey. If I heard a report like that,
right?
I don't know if I'd put stock in one report. Every report out of Minneapolis is Adrian Peterson looks great. You see vines of him in practice. You see vines of him running on a go route and catching a pass 40 yards downfield. I don't know. I think he's in great shape. I'm ready to trust.
A couple more here. Starting fullback. That's a good, I like that Twitter name. Justin Forsett will be a bust. His running success came from the zone blocking scheme that Kubiak runs, and Kubiak is gone. Justin Forsett.
Little did you know I was just going to create a bunch of different Twitter accounts and send you my favorite busts.
I'll go first on this one. Yeah. I like Forsett. I like Trestman. Trestman's already said he's keeping everything in place from what it was with Coach Kubiak, and he's going to learn the offense that the team already knows. So I'm assuming the zone blocking is going to stay.
To be clear,
if someone can point me in a different direction, sure, tell me that it's not. But for the most part, teams use both power blocking and zone blocking anyway.
Right.
And so even if Trestman decides, you know what, I want to use a little more of the G power runs and stuff like that, fine. That'll be fine. Four sets old, he doesn't have the workload of a guy his age.
Mm-hmm.
He's on a team that is devoid of big time weapons, and he can catch the ball like a champ.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he will get enough production as a rusher and receiver to help fantasy owners.
To be clear, you don't like him as a running back one.
Not in a standard league. Okay. But in a PPR, I would take him as one.
Because his average draft position on our site, which is both, is running back 11.
Yeah, it's close in that case.
It's but kind
in
of PPR a tier leagues, thing, though.
I'm in that zone.
I mean, the thing about the ADP is that you might have to take him as the number 11 running back, but he's still going pretty far behind Jeremy Hill, right, who's number 10?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, for sure. It's yeah. Like, he's going basically at the start of the third.
If Hill is the last one, you know, McCoy, Hill, and Murray, there are only 10 number one running backs. So whoever's number 11, according to ADP, whoever's number 11 is a number one running back by default, but clearly in a different tier. Is that an accurate statement? Fair to say?
Yes. I do think there's a tier, a fall off after Jeremy Hill. I would agree with that completely. I don't think Justin Forsett is at the top of the next tier, is my argument. I don't think he's going to be better than Frank Gore this year.
I don't think he'll be better than DeMarco.
I don't think he's going to be better than Lamar Miller. Well, no, I think we were considering that DeMarco's in the tier.
DeMarco's in
tier.
The... Oh, okay. When I say Hill as number 10, I'm talking ADP, not your rankings.
I see.
Yeah, so Hill is the 10th running back off the board, and then there are 8 more picks before you get Justin Forsett, and then Gordon, and then Miller, and then Gore, and then Alf, and Hyde, that whole group there. And yeah, you're saying Forsett should not be at the top of that group.
Right.
Gore you like better, Miller you like better, anyone else?
Well, I think Carlos Hyde's going to score more fantasy points in standard leagues than Justin Forsett this year.
Do you like Gore and Miller better than Forsett in PPR leagues?
I don't. I think it's much, much closer. I might still take Gore.
Okay. And last one here. This is relevant as we talk about last night's game. Games. Mario Robinson. Alfred Morris is a bust. Matt Jones looking good lately.
Matt Jones is looking good, but Morris might be a bust for different reasons. If you saw that offensive line for Washington.
Yeah, no Trent Williams.
Now listen, they really look terrible on passing plays, on running plays. They weren't great. Jones had a couple of nice runs, but there were a lot of, you know, running back gets the ball and crash into the line he goes. And Jones did that, and Alf did too. Yeah, I mean, I think it goes without saying that if you get Alfred Morris, you got to back him up with Matt Jones.
Okay, read a few emails here. Do these a little quickly. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Email of the day number one is from Akiva. Where's Akiva from?
Jerusalem, Israel.
Jamie often talks about drafting Arian Foster for the same reason you would draft a handcuff like Niall Davis. There are guys to draft as lottery ticket types. Who are some other lottery tickets that you'd want to take?
There's a ton of backup running backs that you can consider as lottery tickets
yep.
who are in the exact same boat as Niall Davis.
Well, who are your favorites?
Well, Niall Davis is one of them. You know what? Matt Jones, the fact that we just talked about him, and he's somebody who's won. I think Robert Turbin is one. I think Jeremy Langford is one.
David Cobb?
David Cobb is one that I would probably take ahead of all these guys.
Right.
Because he might end up being a starter, whereas all the other running backs I named are not going to be starters.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you want to talk about a lottery ticket, based on what we've seen the last 2 years, Denver's backup running back, would you rather have Monte Ball or Ronnie Hillman?
I'd rather have Ronnie Hillman.
Hillman's looked better so far.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Ball look good in like a year.
No.
Like he looked pretty good last preseason.
And I feel like Hillman's the type of back that has a better chance of having success if the offensive line isn't perfect.
Right.
I'm not sure that Ball has success unless defined hole that was where the hole was supposed to be when the play started.
Right. Yep. That's like a lower tier of running back in NFL terms where you need an offensive line and you can't make plays on your own. If you like lottery tickets that you have to wait on, so you're going to, you buy the lottery ticket and then you promise yourself, I'm just going to put it on my fridge with a magnet. And in a month, I'm going to check to see if I won. the rookie wide receivers like Rashad Perriman, Devontae Parker, Devin Funchess, to me, I love the idea of getting them and just taking a patient approach.
Mm-hmm.
And not cutting them in 2 weeks when some random has a big game and you chase that.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's like somebody that you're absolutely sure. Philip Dorsett might even be on that list. Dorial Green-Beckham might be a real good lottery ticket.
Okay. Email of the day number 2 is from Rob from East Hampton, Connecticut. Dear, three names of Dave's choice.
Hannah, Ari, and Danny.
And who are they?
My niece and nephew.
I have a 12-team, 3-wide receiver auction tomorrow. Seriously, we're going to do this one quickly. I know we could spend a whole podcast doing this, and we will have an auction podcast at some point. But if you're doing an auction this weekend, we're going to give quick auction advice.
Hey, Adam, do you want us to cover these emails quickly?
Yeah, so.
Okay.
Well, I here's the thing. Auctions are very fun to talk about, and I know we could get carried away with it. So, sorry for being the boss here, but, I gave auction advice to a friend a few days ago, and this is what I said. I said, here's a list of the top 10 running backs, top 8 wide receivers, Rob Gronkowski. That gives you 19 players. Get 2 of them. That would be my advice. I want 2 of the elite running backs, wide receivers, or Gronkowski. And then save your money for the middle of the auction. That's where I find the best values. That's my
There's
piece of auction
definitely
advice.
Best values like in the middle and late part of the auction. The problem is that there aren't a lot of great players left to use them on. Unless your league specifically does something where the nominations are picked out of a hat or picked at random. Because if you leave it to the owners of the league to make nominations, they're always going to gravitate toward big-time names.
But there's always value. I mean,
there's always value
in the middle.
It just ends up being a parade of like $1, $2, and $3 guys is really what it boils down to.
Give me one
auction. Some of them are guys that just slip through the cracks. I mean, you're never going to see Matt Forte go for $3 in an auction.
No, but you might see Jordan Matthews go for $7 because he went an hour in and people have spent so much money and they don't have that much. You know what I mean? I've got a piece of auction advice.
Auctions, and I wonder if – I think most people do this, but maybe it's not what everybody does. In the first hour of an auction – I'm not ever going to nominate a player that I want.
Of course. That's good strategy.
I will nominate Adrian Peterson probably first in every single.
Not only that, if I know what my quarterback strategy is, yes. I'm going to nominate the opposite of that.
Yes.
And if I always keep track of how much money other owners in the league have
for
to
sure.
spend. And if I know that they need a quarterback and there's Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Still up for nomination. Guess who I'm nominating?
Right.
I'm not, especially if I have a quarterback already, because I'm not going to bid on Peyton, and I want the other owners to start chewing up their money so
right.
I can get back in and maybe get some steals of my own later on.
I think when you say chewing up their money, that brings up the other point of that is don't just nominate players you don't like that might be third or fourth tier. Pick the guys that are the most expensive guys that you don't like and nominate them because
mm-hmm.
you want to spend as much of everyone else's money as you can.
Right, right.
The last thing I would recommend doing is make your own tiers going into an auction. So, for example, I'm going to list the quarterbacks that I think are the very best. Andrew Luck, Aaron Rodgers. Next tier, I think Peyton Manning, Matt Ryan, and Drew Brees are on that next tier. And then after that, there's Tony Romo, Ben Roethlisberger, and Russell Wilson. So I've got these three tiers of quarterbacks. I only need one. I can keep track of what these players go for. And when it's down to maybe one or two of these quarterbacks left available, I'll know how much the other quarterbacks have gone for. I'll know how much is the right amount to spend and maybe even get a bargain on them because I think that that's, you know, the appropriate price to pay based on what the market value has been. And I can gauge that from what other people nominate and bid on. And then I can take advantage of it for my team.
I'm going to read it one more email, and Jamie made me read it. He said, please read this on the air. So funny. And it's pretty funny. It just comes in as subject line, I hate Jamie, spelled J-A-I-M-E-Y, which is not the way you spell it.
I have never seen his name spelled that way.
Yeah, that's a combination. It is J-A-M-E-Y. And I might as well give out the Twitter handles, at Jamie Eisenberg, J-A-M-E-Y, excuse me, at Dave Richard, singular, at Heath Cummings SR, Heath Cummings Senior, and at Adam Azer, AIZER. Anyway, here's the I Hate Jamie email. It is from Ryan. I thought the pretentious guy with a girl's first name was leaving the show. Too bad he's still around as he won't stop talking about the Giants. Anyways, I don't have a question. Fire Goodell.
Oh, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, so I think he hates me.
Yeah.
Right?
But you don't have a girl's name.
I don't. I didn't think I was pretentious.
Well, you are pretentious.
Am I? I don't think that's a fair way to describe me. I don't think I'm pretentious at all. Won't stop talking about the Giants. That's kind of an annoying criticism, in my opinion, because they're extremely
fantasy
relevant.
Let's talk about the other 31 teams.
They're fantasy relevant. I only talk about fantasy relevant stuff.
So that's why we don't talk about the Jaguars so much. Or the Browns.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I spend much more time talking about the Eagles than I do the Giants. So right there, the criticism is,
Adam, I can't wait to get to injuries, news, and notes.
Good. Good. Joseph Randall tweaked his oblique again. What's your take on this situation?
Well, Dave, you should probably answer because I'm not very...
Okay, well, I mean, I have a large oblique, as you guys know, and whenever I tweak it, I certainly have to sit on the shelf. I just want to know if he's able to play. Like, if there was a game on Sunday, could he play through whatever the oblique injury is? And if the answer is no, then I would be a little worried about Joe Randall and his oblique.
I put in my believe it or not column today. You cannot draft Joseph Randall in the third freaking round and act like Darren McFadden doesn't exist. It's the most ridiculous thing. I thought the hype was out of control on Randall when he was healthy. He could produce third round value. I'm not saying he couldn't, but that's not the most likely outcome, especially when he's tweaked his oblique twice now. And who's the only healthy running back for the Cowboys right now?
Well, right now, but a week ago, it wasn't the case.
A week from now, it might not.
It probably won't. It will change a lot throughout the season.
Would you rather have Carlos Hyde or Joseph Randall?
Carlos Hyde.
Randall.
All right, so it doesn't sound like Dave's downgrading Randall too much here.
No, I need to learn more about the oblique.
And, well, I'll tell you what, it is a very common baseball injury, and it's a bad one. It lingers very often. Sometimes it doesn't, but it's like a calf injury. Those things linger, and oblique is not a good thing to have. And this is the second time he's tweaked it. So it's frustrating, but again, it's only week two of the preseason. At least it's not week two of the regular season. Maybe it just makes you reach a little bit earlier for McFadden.
If you draft Randall,
Even
if you don't. Yeah, I don't like the idea of drafting McFadden.
Okay, next note. Chip Kelly reportedly likes Tim Tebow quite a bit, which got me to thinking, is Tim Tebow going to steal touchdowns from either Sam Bradford or DeMarco Murray, Ryan Matthews?
Let's see if he makes the team, but if Chip Kelly likes Tim Tebow, then that answers that question. He's going to make the team. And Tebow is known for this. I wonder if it'll come into play more on two-point conversions, which I bet Chip Kelly will roll the dice on that a little more often than he would, than other head coaches would.
Yeah.
On taking a shot for two instead of one.
Mike Iupati will miss 3 to 8 weeks after knee surgery. That's the Arizona offensive lineman. The timetable mm-hmm. a
Good
little
run
bit
blocker.
Better. Yeah. Yesterday, I think I said 6 to 8, just saw 3 to 8 this morning. And Devin Funchess is going to be held out for precautionary reasons. He's not going to play in Saturday's game. He has that hamstring injury. And FanDuel is approaching. As the season approaches, it's time to start getting on FanDuel and looking at your lineup, looking at a lineup that you can set for week one. FanDuel is the leader in one-week fantasy football. More winners, more payouts than any other site, and over $75 million a week being handed out this football season on FanDuel.com. So get in on the action, and of course we're going to help you out along the way. Use our offer code CBSPOD, and for every dollar you deposit with CBSPOD, FanDuel is going to match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. Up to $200. Click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. You will have so much fun playing FanDuel. Looking forward to talking about it and participating in it when week one rolls around. All right. Preseason takeaways. Two games yesterday. RG3 suffered a concussion and a shoulder injury. Jay Gruden says he would imagine Griffin is still going to be the starting quarterback. Let's talk about that game first. Washington and Detroit. Any major mm-hmm. takeaways, guys?
I'm scared to touch RG3. because of the line and how the beating he took. He dropped back 8 times. He got hit 6 times.
But it is worth mentioning that they didn't have their best player, left tackle, Trent Williams.
It's not like they were resting Trent Williams. He's their best offensive lineman. He's their left tackle. He hurt his other foot, not the bad foot, according to Coach Jay Gruden.
Oh.
I'm worried about whoever's quarterbacking this team, which means I've got to be worried about the receivers, which means I'm worried about Heath's guy, DeSean Jackson. And DeSean was kind of that safe, fall into in round 5 or 6 receiver that you go, okay, look, I know some weeks he'll stink, but some weeks he'll be awesome and he'll get a nice average over the course of the season. He announced on the broadcast yesterday that he was at, quote, 85%.
Oh, that's a good number.
85%. Remember when the original prognosis for his injury was that he'd be out 1 to 2 weeks? It's been 2 weeks. Yeah. And he's at 85%. Maybe he's just doing this so he doesn't have to play in the preseason games. Maybe he realizes what's up ahead and what's coming. I'm not optimistic about the Washington passing game after last night.
I was looking here to see Kirk Cousins started week 2, 7 last year.
They're in the notes, my friend. I love these stats. DeSean Jackson with Cousins.
Go for it.
Jackson
what is it?
With Cousins. Week 3.
Well, I thought Adam.
Well, okay, look, he had 6 games with him, but I'm going to take out week 2, which RG3 started and got hurt. I'm going to take out week 7 when Cousins got benched at halftime. So weeks 3 through 6, 4 games, 3 of his best games of the year. Over 100 yards and a touchdown in 3 of those 4 games. And, one game was against Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, a terrible game he had, but Rodgers-Cromartie usually owns DeSean Jackson, if I remember correctly. But 3 ridiculously good games, 17 fantasy points or more in standard scoring leagues for Jackson when Cousins started and finished.
How many games did he have like that with RG3?
Not that many. Toward the end of the year with RG3, he was kind of okay.
All right, so
Dave, I might be wrong about that. I could be thinking of Alfred Morris.
You know what? I'll take a look.
I've got the game log right here.
I've got the fantasy points last year.
Okay. From him.
Weeks 3 through 6 were his first games with huge fantasy points. Weeks 8 and 9, he had big games, and then nice games, double digits for sure in weeks 13, 16, and 17.
Does it really matter, though? I mean, he's the same receiver.
Yeah, but I need a quarterback who can get him the ball, and I think Cousins might actually be the better quarterback at this point. So I'm going to amend what I said earlier. I'm worried about the Washington passing game if RG3 is in there. And by the way, RG3 missed some throws that got him beat up, and he fumbled twice.
Do you have any thoughts on Zach Zenner, Detroit running back, and the fact that Amir Abdullah only got 2 carries.
Go ahead, Ethan.
I'm glad he only got 2 carries. That mm-hmm. tells me, I mean, Joique Bell's not there. They don't want to give him more than 2 carries because they need him in the regular season. They're treating him like a starting running back.
Yeah.
Let me go through my notes on Abdullah. I don't have any.
Okay.
Zach Zenner is going to make this team. We had a feeling he would back when he was signed to the Lions. And I think it's bad news for George Wynn. They're probably going to go into the year with Bell, Riddick, Abdullah, and Zenner, not in that order. And if Bell gets hurt and if Riddick doesn't perform, that's when you're going to see Zenner play.
Okay. Josh McCown.
That's my guess.
Let's go to the next game. This awesome Bills-Browns game. Wow. Josh McCown.
No, there's good stuff in this game.
Not really.
Oh, yes, there was.
Look. I mean, Tyrod Taylor did fine, but we didn't see any of the wide receivers that we wanted to see from Buffalo. And the running backs for Cleveland barely got any work. And it was Cleveland-Buffalo, for goodness sake. And LeSean McCoy didn't play. So what possibly was good? Manziel?
Football.
What?
I said maybe I'm just a fan of
Yes, football. No, you love football so much that you even thought that this was like a good game to watch.
I liked watching Manziel play.
I didn't see it, so I did want to ask you about that.
He seemed better. He doesn't look like the lost puppy we saw against Carolina last year. And Tyrod Taylor is your starting quarterback in Buffalo.
Oh, well.
There is a ridiculous to go to Castle because Taylor gives him a threat as a runner and as a passer. There were throws that Taylor made that were on the money that his receivers couldn't come up with for one reason or another. And it's because the receivers were second and third string receivers. He didn't have Sammy Watkins. He didn't have Robert Woods. Chris Hogan got hurt. Marquise Goodwin got hurt. Charles Clay was out there on the field.
Now, I think Tyrod Taylor is good for LeSean McCoy.
That's what I was going to say.
Yes.
Because we've got to think about in the past, running quarterbacks with running backs.
Because if you really don't want to draft running backs that are not running backs.
You don't want kicking running backs.
No.
But Alfred Morris's big rookie year, RG3 was the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Michael Vick in Philadelphia when he was running wild.
Right.
LeSean did well there. The running backs in Atlanta when Vick was back in Atlanta, the running backs did well there. Cam Newton and, well, maybe that's not a good example because they split the ball so much.
I think Tyrod Taylor might even help Percy Harvin.
If he can say
what about Sammy Watkins?
Actually, I think he could help Sammy Watkins.
This is a good transition, Dave, because Sammy Watkins was on your mid-July bust list. We're going to kind of compare.
That was back when EJ Manuel was the starting quarterback for Buffalo.
Okay.
I have long thought, and by long I mean the last 2 weeks, that the Bills were a quarterback away from being a playoff team.
Yeah.
I don't know if Tyrod Taylor is that quarterback to do it, but I'm reminded of a conversation I had years ago with Cam Cameron. And Cam Cameron was the offensive coordinator of the Ravens. And I'm going to look up the quote because I know I have it about Tyrod Taylor. He said Tyrod Taylor was one of the 11 best players that he coached and he wanted to find ways to get him on the field. He never did because he's a quarterback, and he had Joe Flacco and he's pretty good, but Taylor's going to be a real interesting play. And week one against Indianapolis in Buffalo.
I cannot believe what I'm hearing right now. That is your FanDuel sleeper. You need to pump the brakes. We are talking about the quarterback position where guys like Carson Palmer and Jay Cutler and Colin Kaepernick, a lot of times they don't even get drafted. And you're telling me that because of one half when Tyrod Taylor against a team that did not have Joe Hayden or the horrible Justin Gilbert for whatever that's worth threw for what, 54 yards or 65 yards on 10 passes? Now we're talking about him being a FanDuel option and a quarterback that could help people? Tyrod Taylor has never started a game in his career, and he is not even necessarily the start. I just think we're going a little overboard here at thinking about Tyrod Taylor positively. Like, he's going to be one of the worst starting quarterbacks in football.
And I'm
going to
see what his value is for week one.
Why would you do that? I don't want to have a FanDuel discussion right now, but, he's... I don't think he can have as much of an impact on the Buffalo offense as you guys are saying. Maybe for a few days, just like Kyle Orton did. Maybe for a few games like Kyle Orton did last year. But over a 16-game season, you're talking about one of the worst starting quarterbacks in the NFL. And it's bad for Sammy Watkins.
That has nothing to do with week one in FanDuel.
Okay, but you're not starting him in week one in FanDuel.
You must start him in FanDuel, otherwise I will... eat your children.
You just said too many nice things about Tyrod Taylor, and it's like, let's not forget that you called Sammy Watkins a bust in mid-July, and things have changed, so does this really impact Sammy Watkins' value, like Tyrod Taylor?
I want to see them play together. I think what we saw from Tyrod Taylor playing with backups and where he put the ball and how he took care of the ball tells you a lot about his play. It's a very good first impression for a team that we already know what the impression is on Matt Castle and EJ Manuel. That ain't changed. We know what they are.
You know who was great last week?
They found out a little bit about Tyrod Taylor.
Josh McCown was great last week.
Nah.
Yeah, his numbers, terrific. Johnny Manziel is terrific 2 weeks in a row. I'm not going to overreact to preseason when backups are all over the field.
The whole point of why I like Tyrod Taylor is because you can get him in FanDuel for the lowest price possible for a quarterback.
Well, okay. So fine. That's fine.
If you want to go dirt cheap at quarterback so you can load up everywhere else, Taylor's going to give you numbers and he's going to run with the football, and that Colts defense is good, but it's not going to be, to the point where Taylor's throwing 5 interceptions.
This is the busts show. So let's spend the rest of it talking busts and let's talk Sammy Watkins a little bit more.
I'd like to talk Tyrod Taylor more.
No. Sammy Watkins is going to look up the ADP right now. Except Heath is always usually Johnny on the spot with that. But Sammy Watkins is going... Heath, a little help? Oh, I'm on the
58th.
Thank you, 58th overall. end of the fifth round. That's actually pretty late. What do you think about that value for Sammy Watkins?
I'm not going to call Sammy Watkins a bust when he's going at the end of the fifth round.
Right, right.
I think there may be people that are too hyped on him. I think maybe this average draft position may not be real... I feel like this one might be a little out of whack with what I'm going to see in a normal draft. I don't feel like he's falling to the end of the fifth round.
but
there are so many receivers that I like who are getting drafted after him.
Yeah.
Edelman, Keenan Allen, Martavis, Jarvis Landry.
You like that?
I'd much rather have Watkins than Keenan Allen.
Oh, would you?
I don't like Keenan Allen.
Yeah. I don't know if Watkins. Let's pump the brakes on Tyrod Taylor. By the way, all I said was that he was a great play for FanDuel in week one. That he's got potential to be a good receiver. Or a good quarterback, rather, and help Keenan Allen or Sammy Watkins be a good receiver.
And I don't think Tyrod Taylor helps Sammy Watkins' value, really. I think he helps LeSean McCoy and maybe Percy Harvin.
I think he could help Sammy Watkins' value. Not a lot. I do have Watkins ahead of Edelman in my rankings. And I've got Edelman for like 1,005. So I think Watkins can get basically what he did last year. That's what I'm looking for from him.
Yep.
But I will take Landry and Keenan Allen ahead of Sammy Watkins.
Two other wide receivers that you had in your bust column a month ago. DeAndre Hopkins going at the end of the fourth round, 48th overall, just ahead of Andre Johnson. And Roddy White, who is going 81st overall. So that is what toward the end of the seventh round.
Right. I can't fight with DeAndre Hopkins at the end of the fourth round. I would probably take him there myself.
Right. Now, to be fair,
I've been in so many drafts where I've seen him go in round three.
Right. Exactly. When you wrote that, he was not going at the end of the fourth round. So ADP reflects, a drop in value for him. And yeah, I don't know. That actually seems kind of late to me now.
I don't feel like it's kind of late because I think that offense is going to be awful and he doesn't have a good quarterback and they don't even have Aaron Foster in the threat of the run anymore.
Okay. Would you rather have Andre Johnson or DeAndre Hopkins?
I'd rather have Andre Johnson.
Dave?
I'll take Hopkins over Andre Johnson.
Heath, would you rather have DeSean Jackson or DeAndre Hopkins?
I'll take DeAndre Hopkins.
Me too.
Okay. That's the next wide receiver off the board. And then Roddy White's kind of interesting. When he's been healthy, he's been pretty good.
He's touchdown dependent now.
You think so?
Yeah, I know so. Look at his numbers from last year. Every game he had a touchdown, he was double digits for fantasy.
In a standard league, he might be touchdown dependent. In a PPR league, he was still the number 20 wide receiver. He was number 26 in standard. This is Roddy
White.
Fair
point. Fair point.
So is he okay in PPR?
I'll admit to liking Roddy White better in a PPR than in a standard league. But to me, he's slowing down. It's Julio's offense.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing about it is, if that offensive line can protect Matt Ryan, then he's going to get off more quality throws and have a chance at putting up some really good numbers, especially if the run game struggles. They're going to lean that way. White, here's the question. Can he still dominate single coverage? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if he can.
I think, I'm not sure if dominate's a strong word, and I'm not sure he can do that. I don't love Roddy White this year, but
can he get 1,000 yards?
It's possible. As a 30th receiver off the board at the end of the seventh round, I'm pretty okay with that.
I don't think he can get 1,000 yards.
Let me tell you the receivers that are going around Roddy White. Macklin, Marshall, Mike Wallace.
I like him a lot more than I do Macklin or Wallace.
I like him more than Wallace, not Macklin.
I wanted to just make this random point. Looking at Harry Douglas with the Falcons, last two years.
This is not a random point because we've talked about Harry Douglas and the Falcons' third wide receiver.
Go on, Adam. I'm listening.
Yeah, I did the numbers today. What he averaged the last 2 years, in five games with Roddy White out. 6.5 catches, 98 yards, and two monster games, 3 100-yard games in there.
Weren't two of them against Tampa Bay?
One was against Tampa Bay, but I think that was the two catches for 14 yards in a touchdown game on a Thursday night earlier last year, right? Terrible, terrible game, that blowout.
Go on.
2 years ago, when Julio Jones was out, Harry Douglas, averaged 6.5 catches for 82 yards, but he actually started out really, really good and then finished quietly. My point is, if you consider Roddy White an injury risk, is there a third wide receiver on Atlanta that is a lottery ticket, to go back to what we were talking about earlier?
There's been a lot of talk about Justin Hardy, but he hasn't been running with the starters. The guy that's getting play is Anderson, former
Anderson,
Miami Hurricane, former protege of Kyle Shanahan in Washington. Yeah.
You buy that, or
maybe
would you
there's
still
a chance? I don't think I'm drafting him.
Okay, and more of a deep league thing, I think. Anyway, you have three running backs on your bust list, Dave, from last month. are they still on your bus list? LeGarrette Blount, Jonathan Stewart, and TJ Yeldon. Blount, Stewart, Yeldon.
The one that I might warm up to a little more is Yeldon. The other two, absolutely 100% yes, bus.
Heath, reaction?
Let's see. Jonathan Stewart's going at the end of the fifth round. The next running backs going are Rashad Jennings and CJ Spiller. No, I'm fine with him there. I think he should perform to that value pretty easily. I don't love LeGarrette Blount. I don't like taking the first Patriots running back off the board as a rule. He's going in the seventh round. I
think there's other players that I would rather take in the seventh round.
Okay, but for a guy, for you to take this guy in the seventh round and for him to be a bust, he's going to have to produce almost nothing.
He's going to have to start for you several weeks and produce nothing.
Okay.
To me, that's more of a short-term view of a bust.
Okay. He's the 29th running back off the board, though, so most people are taking him as their backup running back.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting, Dave, because when you wrote that column a month ago, you know, Jonathan Stewart was not going 59th overall. We were talking about him in the fourth round discussion. And I see why you called him a bust there. But as Heath kind of alluded to, I'll ask
you. End of round five,
I actually love that for Jonathan Stewart.
It's not bad.
You know, because in theory, you could have the first pick in the draft, take a running back, then get two stud receivers. Hopefully you're lucky enough to get AJ Green. If not, you take two out of Hilton, Jeffrey, and Evans. And then you come back with two running backs. Maybe Yeldon falls to you. If not, Jonathan Stewart, Rashad Jennings, something like that. And
at the start of the fifth?
I'm looking at the end of the fifth. No, right. So it would be at the start of the fifth, right?
Right.
That's the end of the
49,
fifth.
49, right?
Okay, I'm sorry. That's even later. That's the end of the fifth. That's for the guy picking 12th, not first. I got
Which,
the swings wrong.
We've talked, I think, a lot about if you're picking 12th, that's not a bad place to start receiver.
Receiver, right. And then Stewart could be your third running back. Receiver, running back, and then Stewart, Rashad Jennings. Now you have four running backs, two stud receivers. You might like that team.
Oh, yeah. I think I'd probably rather take Ameer Abdullah, but I have a feeling we see Ameer Abdullah's ADP is at 70th right now. I have a feeling
it's going up.
It's a lot higher than that.
People were tweeting me saying that he was going as high as round two.
Oh, wow.
That's too high. Don't do that.
I agree.
Unless it's the league where you get to keep like four players. so it's really round five.
Heath, do you have any busts you want to throw out there other than Peterson?
Well, I kind of feel like the people that sent the busts in, I really agreed with a lot of those.
Yeah.
I think there's a chance if you're taking Peyton Manning in the second round, you're not going to be happy with what you get. Like at all.
Right. What if you took him in the late third or early fourth round, Peyton Manning?
I'm not going to take Peyton Manning because I'm not going to take him as a third quarterback off the board. He has a chance to be the third quarterback.
If it's round five and he's available, you're passing on him?
I think I have.
I haven't.
I know. You've gotten him several times around round five.
Yeah.
And
is that we're talking to people who are going to be in drafts that Peyton Manning might go in the first round.
Right. And I really don't think you can take him that close to Luck and Rodgers. Not that he doesn't have the upside of Luck and Rodgers, but you have to consider the floor too. And his floor, I feel like, is much lower than Luck and Rodgers.
I think that we're all being very much influenced by the headlines and what we've been seeing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean he's not going to throw. I think he's going to be a nice contributor to a winning Denver Broncos team. I think the days of 350 and four are gone. Don't be surprised if he gives you 250 and three.
Hmm.
And on top of that, 302 on a many, many weeks.
Another guy that plays with him, Emmanuel Sanders, I thought we were driving his average draft position down. Like, I thought we were having a positive impact there. It looks like he's still going 32nd overall. Makes me sad to see the guy that's right behind him in average draft position.
Which is?
Kelvin Benjamin.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not taking Emmanuel Sanders in the third round.
I'm kind of with a lot of the listeners on Mike Evans. Not so much that I think he's going to be a bust, but when he goes around Randall Cobb, T.Y. Hilton, and Alshon Jeffrey, I just don't see a reason to risk it with Mike Evans, considering his pass offense is going to be the worst of those four, and it might not even be close.
I think with a lot of these guys, I mean, when you're talking about a guy that's going in the first three rounds, it's pretty bold to say this guy is going to be a bust. I think what you're talking about is bust potential. This guy has the highest potential to be a bust, but that may only mean that there's a 30-40% chance that he's a bust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I talk about agreeing with the guy that says Adrian Peterson's going to be a bust, I don't think he's actually going to be awful. But I think of the running backs being drafted in that range, he has the most likely guy to be a bust.
Yeah. God, who else should we be worried about? Should we be worried about Jeremy Hill, given how sometimes second-year running backs struggle, although sometimes they're Eddie Lacy and Le'Veon Bell?
I think the key with Jeremy Hill is how, and Dave kind of convinced me more on him after talking about the Bengals defense. I think if the Bengals defense is as good as I think it could be, and Dave seemed to be impressed as well when he saw him, then I think Jeremy Hill is going to be just fine. I think where Jeremy Hill could get in trouble is if they're in more high-scoring games and they get in a situation where they might be chasing the scoreboard occasionally, I think Gio Bernard's going to play more.
They love him
yeah.
in Cincinnati, and he is a grounded dude, and he is good at running the football, and everybody in Cincinnati knows it. And for the past 2 weeks, Andy Dalton has been throwing the ball very well. If for any reason that changes, and, you know, I've seen Andy Dalton throw up some bad footballs in my day. They are going to run to Jeremy Hill and say, please save us, Jeremy. And they're going to shake him. Like yeah. you see in the movies, they're going to shake him.
Here,
okay. They're going to grab his shoulders and like try and wave him. Marvin's going to do it to him. Save us, Jeremy. And he'll say, okay. And then he'll do it. Hugh Jackson said, if I could get 70 calls in a game, I'm pretty sure I could find a way to give Jeremy Hill 20 of them.
Well, Dave, yeah. you convinced me, you reaffirmed my commitment to Jeremy Hill with when you visited them and when you wrote a blog about how much they love them, how much they want to run the ball. So, it's funny to me that he's the last of those 10 running backs to get drafted.
He wouldn't be the last in my time.
Yeah, definitely not. This season,
You're going to do a whole bus show and you're not going to say anything about DeMarco Murray?
I mean, I think if anybody's heard any podcast, then they know. They know
Would
where
you
we
like
stand.
Me to summarize?
I don't know that I want to get into this again.
I can just summarize the bust argument for him.
Okay.
How would you like it done?
Quickly.
Okay. DeMarco Murray had a ton of touches last year, got paid a lot of money by another team, and then he went to that team, and it's not as good of an offense as it was in before. Although they do want to run the football, he is going to share carries. He's not going to get as much work, might not get as many numbers, and is a risk to get hurt. That is the bust reason.
DeMarco
Those are
Murray
the bust arguments for DeMarco.
Will not get as much work as he did last year. Will not get as good of numbers as he did last year. If you draft him as the first overall running back, that's silly. You don't have to. DeMarco Murray should be about running back 8 with 300 touches, which is 200 fantasy points at 0.67 fantasy points per touch, which he's had over his whole career.
And if there's a wide receiver that you want to trust more than DeMarco Murray, I think it's a good idea to take that wide receiver ahead of DeMarco Murray because it's a safer pick. There is risk with DeMarco Murray.
That was really fun. Okay. This season, run your fantasy football league the way you want with CBS Sports Commissioner and have instant access to our latest updates and advice. Plus, you'll receive exclusive player rewards. I should probably do this one a little bit more slowly.
Yeah, they're paying us to do this one.
Well, it's, you know, it's in the family. It's in the CBS Sports family.
Those same people are paying us to do everything, right?
Yeah. Seriously, though.
Let's start that one over.
Seriously, though, obviously, I'm biased, but I play on a lot of websites, and CBS is my favorite. And if it weren't my favorite, I wouldn't tell you that on the air. But it truly is my favorite website to play on. And I meet a lot of people who tell me the same thing and that it's worth the money. So you should sign up. CBS Sports Commissioner, a lot of great offers for you if you sign up now. CBSSports.com/play. Discounted team gear, for example, if you sign up. CBSSports.com/play.
Is that for real?
Yeah.
I didn't know we were doing that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That was such a great testimonial.
But it was true. It was honest. And the honest ones are, like, my FanDuel testimonials are honest, and that one was honest.
Give me an example of one of your dishonest testimonials.
Adam, give us a testimonial on cheap pizza chain whose name will not be mentioned. We'll just call it Cheapies.
Cheapies, let me tell you something. Sometimes I don't have time to wait 45 minutes for a fresh pie of pizza to come to my apartment. I need something now. That's why I go to Cheapies. I get in my car. I drive 2 minutes to Cheapies around the corner. I say, give me a large cheese. It is ready. Bam. And you know what? I wouldn't even know the difference between cheapies and the expensive guys down the street. So yeah, go ahead, save $13, save 30 minutes, and have the same type of meal every night at cheapies.
There are so many lies in what you just said, starting with the fact that you don't have a car.
That is true. I was actually picturing myself in college when I used to go to the cheapies equivalent that we won't say on the air and pay $5 to get their pie, their pizza pie, hot and ready to go. And
man, you're just going to use their slogan and everything. So like, you're not even trying to hide who you're talking
about. Is that their slogan?
Yes.
Oh my, I did not even know.
Awful.
That's not their slogan, is it?
Well, we like to just eliminate possible future sponsors here.
But here's the thing. No, but here's the thing. I loved it.
In college?
Yeah, I went all the time.
To cheapies,
and I loved it. I had no problem with it. My friend Max would come over, we'd watch a game, we'd get a cheapies pie.
More lies, he has no friends.
maybe he would like my roommate better, I'm not sure, but no, that is true. I used to do that all the time in college. Do we have time for emails? You guys got 5 minutes?
Of course. Yeah.
Okay. From Flexbone. I don't remember ever hearing you talk about strategy for drafting in a league that awards a point per completion. So,
oh, yeah.
Talk about it. Point per completion. It's also PPR.
Quarterback values go skyrocketing in a PPC league.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're adding somewhere between 20 and 30 points to the elite level quarterbacks and 15 to 23-ish points to the, you know, the back half of the top 10.
I'm still waiting.
You can probably get away with still waiting.
They're all inflated. That's the thing. Every quarterback's
right,
value is
inflated. Right, every quarterback is inflated. But you think about the quarterbacks that you know they're going to throw a lot this year, and they've got a good track record of completing passes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you kind of put a star next to them.
You know who it hurts, I think? Russell Wilson.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cam Newton.
All the running quarterbacks.
Tyrod Taylor. Mm-hmm. Colin Kaepernick.
Tyrod Taylor's name is on this list.
You know who else it hurts? It hurts
Steve Young.
It hurts Aaron Rodgers.
Because he doesn't throw as much.
He doesn't throw nearly as much. He's like not even in the top 12 in completions last year. And
give me
the
top 12 in completions.
All right. Breeze at 456.
Like, that's a perfect example of somebody who benefits very much.
Matt Ryan.
He benefits so much.
Matt Ryan, 415. Ben Roethlisberger, 408. Peyton Manning, 395. Here's a weird one. I don't know if I'd trust this again. Ryan Tannehill, 392.
I would.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because he's throwing short completions.
Right.
Andrew Luck, 380. Eli Manning and Philip Rivers, 379 apiece.
Yep.
Tom Brady, definitely. Jay Cutler, Matthew Stafford. And then Derek Carr, because they threw a ton.
Yeah, Oakland threw a ton last year.
And then Flacco and then Rodgers.
Carson Palmer. Big time. Big time.
Tony Romo gets a big downgrade if they keep the same offensive philosophy. He was behind Rodgers. All right, so, yeah, I don't know. I don't really like PPC, but
done with PPC?
Next up, this is from Billy. Where's Billy from?
Billy is from the world headquarters of Cheapy's Pizza, which is Leaf Grove, Texas.
He says, hello, insert funny trio here. This is a fun new game.
Oh, where we make up the trios for them?
Yeah.
So we're encouraging our listeners to be lazy.
Or us to be more creative. How about Adam, Dave, and Heath?
I was thinking
EJ,
Matt, and Tyrod.
Fine. Or actually, in honor of Dave, how about Tyrod, and Tyrod? The best trio
in
the world.
I'm going to go with Bill, Fred, and Seth.
Bill, Fred, and Seth.
Fred and Seth. Tweet me if you know who they are.
Okay. I wanted to share with you the counter to waiting on quarterback and tight end. It's not that it can't work. You just need one or two people you like to fall to the bottom of their tiers. 12-team mock I just did from the 9th spot. Rodgers with the first pick. Gronkowski with the second pick. Let's see if we like the rest of his team. Gore, Spiller, McFadden, Coleman, Emmanuel Sanders, Andre Johnson, Kevin White, and Larry Fitzgerald.
Can we replace Kevin White with somebody else? Eddie
sure.
Royal, Devontae Parker,
yeah.
Anybody who's going to play football this year.
I still
year.
Don't like
can
it.
Can we replace CJ Spiller with someone else?
I still
too?
Don't like it. If it's a standard league, I don't like it enough. Because we got Emmanuel Sanders, you guys are downgrading. Andre Johnson is the number two receiver. Frank Gore, number one, and Spiller, number two.
To be clear, I don't think this is a terrible strategy.
Well, no, I don't. I was going to say this isn't a terrible team.
No, it's this team has a chance to make the playoffs.
Well, it's arguably a very good strategy in a 10-team league, very bad in 14-team leagues, and maybe hit or miss in 12-team leagues.
It's. I think it's a risk reward play. You're giving yourself a much higher upside because you're going to have two elite players, and if you hit on the running back slate, you could be great.
Or if you hit on them off of waivers.
Right.
Remember, the draft is just part of this, and playing the waiver wire and picking up the right players and getting those backup running backs a week before they get their turn, you know, it's part dumb luck, it's part strategy. And you need to, I would dedicate more roster spots on this team to running back. Like, cut Kevin White, add a running back.
I like his defense and his kicker, though. They're pretty good.
Yeah, who cares? And I don't know.
Hey, what was I saying?
And I just saw an IM. 12 players on his team?
I just saw an IM that Heath sent me.
I don't know.
Distracted me.
What happened?
Heath just sent me an IM that distracted me.
What was it?
It was a link.
It's about cheapies. The last one is from like Kevin in South Jersey. Dear Zorak, Moltar, and Brack. I think that is Space Ghost. Or Cartoon Planet, and that was a really funny show that I used to watch in high school all the time, so good mention there, if that is what it is. If not, then terrible mention. You mentioned the other day how you feel like there's a bit of a dead area as far as your interest and prospects available in rounds 5 or 6, but you also stress waiting on quarterbacks. Would it then make sense to draft a quarterback in round 5 or 6 instead of taking a player you aren't a fan of?
Definitely a good plan, but I don't know if I like doing it if the quarterback I get in round 5 or round 6 is Tony Romo or Ben Roethlisberger. If it's Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, Peyton Manning, I'm in. I like it.
Yeah.
Cam was part of that group, too, before the Kelvin Benjamin injury.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of players that I like in round 5 and 6.
Hey, tell Dave.
What's that?
Dave.
What?
Documentary Now.
Well, yeah, of course.
I just learned what that is via Google.
You just ruined it, though, for everybody who's going to tweet me.
I don't think I ruined anything. That was 5 minutes ago.
Do you want me to read off the players I like in round 5 and 6?
I don't care.
No, we got to go, my
first
friend.
First he like makes it clear who Cheapies is.
No, but
then
I like Cheapies.
About his car. And now he ruins my trio from the email.
Okay.
Travis Kelsey.
And this is why that one guy hates Jamie, aka me.
I'm Ari Cooper.
Heath Cummings, Dave Richard. Thanks. Have a great weekend, guys.
Happy drafting.
Later.